T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. When someone loses a loved one due to suicide, it's a painful, confusing time. So many questions are left unanswered. Did you know? Did we cause this? Could we have stopped this? In North Carolina, suicide is the second leading cause of death in persons aged 25 to 34. There are no cut-and-dried signs or absolute triggers that cause someone to take their own life. But whether you have struggled with suicide yourself or you've lost a loved one, know that you are not alone. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is working every day to reduce the number of suicides in this country and let people know that there is light beyond the darkness. Darren Schell and Amanda McGow are joining me this morning to discuss this difficult topic and tell us about an event designed to bring together those who are affected by it. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask each of you, do you have a personal connection to suicide? Darren, you can go first.
Yes, actually in 2006, I lost my father just 2 weeks after my daughter was born. And then in the last 15 years since that, I've lost 3 close friends.
And Amanda?
Yes, I do. In 2001, I lost a very dear friend that I had grown up with. He ended his life, and since then, I've lost 2 other friends as well as one of my clinical supervisors.
It's such a difficult time. Do you believe there are enough resources in this country to help people who are contemplating suicide?
Charlie, part of what we know is that there are a lot of people who need help, and thankfully now we're talking more about this issue than ever. There are resources out there. Sometimes, though, people are reporting that there's a wait for those resources, such as getting in with a therapist, getting in with a psychiatrist. We do know that our emergency rooms are open, to see individuals and assess whether or not they are able to keep themselves safe and help them get some supports put into place. So resources do exist. It can just take a little bit of time to get connected to them in some cases.
There are as many different reasons that people choose to take their own lives as there are people out there. So at times it could be very difficult to see the signs. But if a loved one's actions are giving you pause, what are some things that you should look out for?
One of the biggest things I encourage people to be on the lookout for is significant changes in your loved one's behavior. They're just really not acting like themselves. Everything seems pretty off. You may notice that they've become very isolated, or the things that they used to really enjoy doing and really used to care about, they're no longer engaging in. You may also hear talk of feeling like life isn't worth living, or that it's just too painful, that nothing's going to get better. So in other words, maybe some conversation around feeling hopeless. We always want to take any conversation that we hear about suicide from a loved one very seriously. We don't want to assume that they are just ranting or seeking attention. We want to really listen to that. We want to talk to them about it and make sure that they get any support that they need.
Let's talk about teenage suicide first. Young people process their feelings very differently than adults, and everything for them feels so huge. As parents, we can tend to brush it off or say, oh no, you'll get over this in time. Is that the correct approach?
I work a lot as a psychologist with adolescents and their families. We don't want to just brush these things off. I can certainly understand the, you know, inclination a parent may have thinking it's just teenage angst. However, that's something that we don't want to take the chance on being wrong about. So we want to talk to our teenager. We want to listen without judgment. Very important. Judgment is going to shut down conversations when we're talking about mental health and suicide in general. So we want to listen without judgment. We want to show them that we care, that we're there for them, and that we'll do what it takes to get them help. So if you see mood changes, increased or initiation use of, you know, alcohol or other substances, if your child has become withdrawn and is just not engaging anymore, you want to take those signs very seriously and have that life-saving conversation.
And I think to add to that, I think one thing you have to understand about suicide is it's oftentimes a rash, sudden decision. And it comes from losing the connection to the frontal cortex. The frontal cortex is a part of our brain where we make good decisions, logical, rash decisions. That's also a part of the brain that doesn't develop until our early 20s. So lots of times what seems to be a quick, unthought out rash decision by a teen quite often is, in fact, just that. They don't completely think out the final consequences because they haven't yet developed that ability mentally.
That's a very interesting point. If we feel our child may be in a dark place or contemplating self-harm, what should we as parents do?
We're definitely going to reach out to them and, you know, have a conversation with them in private where we ask directly, are you having thoughts of suicide or ending your life? A lot of times parents have shared that they are afraid that if they ask that question, that they're going to be planting a seed, kind of giving their child a suggestion, if you will. But we've got a lot of research that shows that just the opposite is true. So asking that question can, in fact, invite your child to know that you are an open and safe person that they can talk about any thoughts or urges that they've had towards suicide. So we ask that question, we listen non-judgmentally, and then we help connect them to care. We can explain to them that we all have mental health in the same way that we have physical health, and that they may need some support taking care of their mental health in the same way that they would if they had a broken leg. With mental health, we can't see it in the same way that you might see someone walking around in a cast or with crutches with a broken leg. But it's just as important that we seek support, we seek help, and treat the things that might be leading the person to think that life is not worth living.
I'm speaking with Darren Schell and Amanda McGow of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. When adults contemplate suicide, it's usually for very different reasons than for teenagers. What are some of the reasons that may be behind those feelings?
So we know through research that there can be a lot of different factors that lead to suicide in adults and even in adolescents. So mental health can certainly be one piece of this. In addition, though, to mental health concerns such as significant anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, substance use, for example, we also see life factors such as the loss of a significant relationship, job stressors, financial strains on a person, you know, recent physical health issues also can come into play. So what we know tends to happen with a suicide is that there is a perfect storm of many different factors that unfortunately come together at the same time to make the person feel that life is not worth living, others may be better off without them, and that there's no way through the emotional pain that they are dealing with. There is never just one cause for suicide, whether we're talking about adults or adolescents. But a lot of times we think it's only mental health. It is a big part of it, but it's also those life stressors that can be a piece of this as well.
I want to hit on something that you mentioned right there. It's very hard for those left behind to comprehend, but many times the person who's contemplating suicide, they honestly believe that their loved ones will be better off without them, right?
Yes, they really do, Charlie. There's a lot of research that shows us this, and there's even a very common theory about why people end up losing their life to suicide that includes as one of the top three factors that they believe they are a burden. The term we used is perceived burdensomeness, and perceived is really a key word there. It's not the case that people usually feel that they are a burden. In fact, just the opposite. A lot of times they are very well-loved individuals and people who are cherished in many ways, but they have reached a point where their thoughts have gotten so jumbled up, and as Darren mentioned, you know, literally in their brain, sometimes connections are not being made that bring logic and fact and reason into the situation. So they truly believe people are better off without them.
And as you said, it's rarely the case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I work with many suicide loss survivors as a therapist, and over and over and over again in working with them, they feel exactly what I felt when I lost friends, that absolutely they were not a burden. I wanted them back desperately, but that was no longer an option.
It's a common misconception that there will be signs or conversations before someone takes their life, but that's not usually how it happens. I know of a friend of a friend whose husband had this great day with her right beforehand, and then he went off by himself. And I tend to believe that when someone handles it this way, it's because they don't want to be stopped. Is that what you've seen?
I think sometimes that's the case. But again, I think more often than not, it is that loss of connection to that frontal cortex and being able to make good decisions. There's a sudden stressor or multiple stressors, and it just is suddenly that straw that broke the camel's back. I've done some work with an app that basically just gives a person a button to, I feel this stress coming on, I want to reach out to my friends or whatever, and you just hold this button. It takes 3 seconds, but we found that just that, being able to make that decision to hold that button for 3 seconds has saved multiple lives already, even in the development, just because it's that squad mentality. Now that I've reached out to you, I know you're going to come, so I'm going to hold on just a little longer.
And I would add and completely agree with what you just shared, Darren. I think that one of the significant complexities of suicide bereavement is that we struggle with that question of why. Why did this happen? How did this happen? What could I have missed? And in some cases, there was not a lot that we missed. You know, I am often reminding families that I work with that none of us are psychics. And in research with the best of the best in the field of suicide prevention, so we're talking about the professionals who've devoted their career to this, we see that they are only able to accurately predict who is going to die by suicide at about 51 to 52%. Charlie, that's the equivalent of flipping a coin. In other words, we cannot predict. And so it's really important for loved ones who are left behind to remember that they were doing the best with what they knew at the time. We can learn the signs, we can look for the signs, we can have important conversations, and that gives us our best chance at stopping a suicide. But sometimes we are absolutely, unfortunately, going to be blindsided. And I think that even the individual who died by suicide sometimes is blindsided and never would have predicted that for themselves either.
And moving on after a loved one takes their life is just so very difficult because of all those things, because, you know, how could we have stopped it? All the questions that you have. What kinds of resources does the AFSP provide?
AFSP includes a lot of resources for suicide loss survivors. It is not only our mission, to prevent suicide, but we also want to provide support, hope, and healing to those who have been impacted by suicide loss. We have services such as healing conversations where you can talk to someone in your state who has had a similar type of loss that you've experienced. So in other words, if you lost a child, you would be connected to a trained volunteer who also lost a child so that you all could talk and have some support from that person. We also have International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day, which is always the Saturday before Thanksgiving. That is a time where across the state, we host different in-person or virtual events where we come together as a community that has been impacted by suicide loss, and we work together to, you know, create a sense of safe space to talk about it, to understand a little bit more about it, and just to build that sense again of hope and healing. We also reach out, you know, through information that you can find on the AFSP.org website. There's a lot of practical information for right after a suicide, but we also have specific resources, for example, for schools or for workplaces, because we want to make sure that not only are the family and the closest loved ones of that individual supported, but also everyone who was in their environment. That's a very important part, actually, of preventing further suicides. So we have resources like that that can be found for free at AFSP.org.
I also think one of the big events we have that helps or is a resource really is the Out of the Darkness walks themselves. We have walks that I think there's 8 or 9 across the state of North Carolina where people who are survivors of loss come together, and just it's a small walk, and it's really refreshing and helps you see you're not alone, I think.
Yes, the Out of the Darkness walk is coming up, and it's bringing together people affected by suicide. It helps to raise awareness for mental health. How do you feel the event benefits the people who participate?
I think it gives you a sense of community. I mean, it's a community you really don't want to be a part of, but when you're a part of it, it's the greatest community you can ever be a part of. You don't want to be a part of, if that makes any sense at all. Mm-hmm. But it does, because when it happens to you, especially, you know, if it's a multiple, you know, this is the second or third time it's happened to you, you feel alone. You feel like you're, you know, there's just like the cosmos picking on you. Why do you keep losing friends and nobody else does? And then you get to one of these events and you start to see that in your own small hometown or whatever, you find how many other people there are that have been through not just being a suicide loss survivor, but the same type of loss you've been. People who have lost a parent, or people who have lost a friend just like you. And it does give you an odd sense of family.
And the Out of the Darkness walk also raises money for the AFSP and their resources, correct?
Yes. And roughly 80% of every dollar that we raise will go to the research, education, and prevention programs that we have put together. So it's almost all the money is put right back into the program.
When and where will this year's walk be taking place?
This year's walk for the Triad will be at Triad Park up in Kernersville on October 15th. That's a Saturday morning, and registration will start at 9 that morning, and the event will go to about 1 p.m. that afternoon.
Can each of you give us some personal insight on how the Out of the Darkness walk has touched you?
Yeah, I'll start with that. The bead ceremony was the big thing for me. We have a ceremony, and there's 9, this year 10 different colors of beads, and each color bead represents the type of loss you've experienced. You know, purple being a friend, or silver being a military loss or whatever. So when you get there, there's all these people, and everybody gets their bead colors on, and you kind of start to recognize there's other people with the same color as you. But during the bead ceremony, you'll have somebody that, you know, will be there, and they'll be representing that color, and they'll have a very short piece about why they're there, why they're representing that color, and then they'll ask for everyone with that color to, you know, hold up their beads. And you look around and suddenly you realize, like I said, you're not alone. You're not the only one it just happened to. There could be as many as 100, 150 people standing around you in a crowd that have had the same loss as you. And it was just really, it took a huge load off of me when it happened for me. It was just like, that was the moment I realized I wasn't the only person this had ever happened to.
And Amanda?
For me, the walks have been one of the most emotionally powerful experiences that I've ever had. I think I was really struggling to understand my feelings when, I went to the first walk. I'd lost my friend a long time before that and really was struggling to still process some of that. And then one of my clinical supervisors died by suicide, and it was his death that prompted me to say, I need to find some sense of community here within this. And so I attended a walk, and it really got me on this path of finding some meaning and some value personally by getting involved with AFSP. I thought that the memory wall, we do a wall of some sort where individuals can post a message to their loved one. They can post their picture. They can write their name. And you look and you see all of these faces, all of these names. And it was just so powerful. Everyone there is so loving, so supportive. It's just a place that you can talk so openly about what you have been through, what other people have been through. There are people there sharing that they've struggled and that they're, you know, working each day to kind of find that, you know, reason for living. But it's just a beautiful experience. It is positive and uplifting. And I know sometimes that might surprise people when we're talking about a walk that's related to suicide prevention and suicide loss, but it really is a very hope-filled event.
So how can people find out more about the Out of the Darkness Walk and get registered?
You can find out more and register for the Triad Walk if you go to afsp.org/triad is the short URL for us. And you can just click join a team or... you can just straight out donate, join as an individual walker, virtually or in person, is all just right there within a few clicks.
Now, Amanda, there has been a national suicide hotline for many years, but they've just recently shortened the number. They've made it 988. And why did they do this? Why is it so important?
Yes, I'm really excited about this change. 988 is such an easier number to remember, and I really like the parallel between 988 for mental health support and 911 for medical support. We really are saying mental health is health. We know that, but this number really reiterates that. But it's just easier to remember. If you call 988, you're going to be connected to a trained crisis counselor, and they are there to listen, they're there to support you, they're there to help you connect to resources. So we're really hoping to expand the ability to provide support to people when in the midst of a crisis.
Would each of you like to share some final thoughts on suicide and suicide prevention and loss?
Yeah, I think this year is the first time we're going to be back live since 2019. So that's really exciting to have everybody back live together. And I think it's a good time to come out and join us and see, like Amanda has talked about, just how much emotion and kinship is there in one of these walks. So, I'd like to see everybody get registered and come out and join us that morning.
And Amanda?
Yes, I'd just like to say that I'm so glad that we can have conversations like this, Charlie, more and more in many different areas, you know, throughout our society. It's very important because suicide in the past has been stigmatized. There's been a lot of judgment and value, negative value labels kind of associated with it. But the reality is that this is a health issue, it's a public health issue, and that each and every one of us can play a role in helping to stop suicide.
Well, suicide not only affects the person, it does impact family, friends, coworkers, and your entire community. If you're dealing with mental health issues or you know someone who is, please talk about it and please direct them to the National Suicide Hotline. All you have to do is dial 988 and someone will be available to talk 24/7. And join the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention on October 15th for the annual Triad Area Out of the Darkness Community Walk at Triad Park in Kernersville. More details on the walk and information on available resources are available at afsp.org. Darren Schell and Amanda McGow, thank you so much for your time this morning and good luck with the event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Triad Today on 98.7 Simon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.